It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Friday!
Bleep it!
Yes! It Friday!
There you go. And Greg Bergman has a Peloton.
Wow.
For much of his life since he got this Peloton, it has been used as a place to hang clothing. And a lot of people, by the way, I think this is why Peloton's stock dropped and everything. It's because as many people that are going to buy it have gotten it, and people are discontinuing their use because it is
also,
a clothing hanger.
People just like going to the gym. They like classes. They like being around people. It is motivating to be in a room where other people.
Good point.
Where you have Trinidad, you know, to
Trinidad
yell at you.
The trainer.
Yeah, to yell at you. Other people
while I'm listening to music.
There's somebody else 30 feet away from Trinidad just doing it, whatever Trinidad says.
Right.
And
copying.
It's similar to how Bergman used to steal cable.
So Bergman
used to. That's funny.
Bergman, what is the latest on you and the Peloton?
I have ever since, what is this, September 20th, I have gone on every single day except for two.
Really?
Every single day, every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I am on the Peloton. Every day.
Wow.
And I do 30-minute classes or 20-minute classes. Yeah. It's been fantastic, and I love it, and it's part of my daily routine now, and I want to do it.
Do you use one of those cheerleaders? Like, come on, you can do it, Greg.
I mean, yeah, there's an instructor.
You can do it. We're going uphill now.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you what to do. They tell you to go between different ranges, and you do it.
The classes are legit.
It's a genuinely great thing,
the Peloton.
Yes.
It is a great thing. Now, I'm not a bit... So have you ever been... This is weird. What's the place, the cycle place you go to? And it's
Soul
really,
Cycle?
Soul Cycle. I almost died in a Soul Cycle class once. I mean,
if anybody was
going to
almost
die
in a Soul Cycle class, it's you.
That is hot. It is loud. Yeah. It is. I barely made it out of there alive. But a Peloton I could use.
Yeah. I would sell it to you, but I'm using it.
You're
so
using it now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Went on it this morning.
What's your weight at?
I haven't checked in a while, but it's probably still around 185.
185 is good.
Yeah.
It's not about
very
how much you weigh. It's about where it is, like moving stuff around.
Yeah, we were talking about that today.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm
still
at,
got a little bit of a, you know.
I'm at 202, down from 216. So I've been working at it.
I was pretty
hard.
You look
Wait
good,
a
too.
Minute. You were 208 on Wednesday.
Don't be questioning me.
I have the tape.
You don't have the tape.
Oh, come on.
I'm at 202 today. But, like...
You look like 197.
You pat your stomach and you're like, damn, maybe I'm just going to have this gut forever.
Certain things you kind of can't get rid of, and then you reach a certain part of your life.
Where you quit and give up? Because
I think I'm close to that.
Yeah, where you just can't put things back where you want them.
Yeah. It's true.
Body parts just aren't hanging where you want
them
to be.
You said the same thing.
Yeah, no, I'm actually in the best shape I've been in years, and I still have a bit of a gut because I just can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience to go do the push-ups and the sit-ups and the running and everything else along with the Peloton.
Right. So do you like the way you look in the mirror?
I do, most of the time.
Do you?
Yeah, most of the time.
Do you like the way you look in the mirror?
I'm cool with it.
I hate the way I look. I could do better. I hate the way I look in the mirror.
But you're never going to like it. Do you have body dysmorphia?
What is body dysmorphia?
When you look at yourself and you see something just totally different where it looks bad.
I must, because, I mean, do I look as bad as I think I look?
No, you look fine.
Okay.
You know what I think it is, too? It's like you go up and down
a lot. I do go up and down.
So I think when you're down, you still kind of picture yourself as a little up. If you stayed at, even if you wanted to be, let's say, 190.
Right.
But you stayed at 202 for 6 months, you'd start to kind of be like, okay. Get used to this and
my weight range during the pandemic was a low of 189, a high of 217.
Yeah, I mean 30 pounds to do.
Is that 30 pounds?
Right? Basically 190 to 220.
Damn. Yeah, see, that's a huge swing.
I got up, this is a few years ago, I got up near 200. I'm only 5'9". That was a little thick.
What do you weigh now?
About 180.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice.
That's good.
Yeah, stay somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I could do five more, but if I don't, we're cool. But what I really watch is the The upside, like when it starts to creep up to 82, 83, because I'm getting really lazy about stuff.
Yeah.
You just got to get your eating back in order.
Well, I'm sure doing all those podcasts and YouTube shows.
I do them.
I'm
from
setting you
the
up.
Peloton.
By, I'm setting right. you up, by the way, just for
to talk
a,
about the Locked On Lakers guy podcast who 5 days a week. Lakers dance party. How down on your phone?
Yeah, on my phone. I 5 days a week. I should do that from the bike.
You should.
I have a bike in the garage.
Yeah. Why not? All right. There's a lot of talk about this Draymond Green punch that he threw at Jordan Poole, and we've all seen it now on TMZ. And I'll be honest, it's worse than I imagined.
It's quite a right hand.
I mean, it's like when you hear there was a punch thrown at practice, you're like, well, there are fights in every practice.
Right.
To see it is a different thing.
Uh-huh.
Draymond lost
because
it.
You assume like it's like any other sports fight. Guys get up in each other's, like, it's in the middle of a play, and, like, somebody
push
fouls somebody, push a little bit, and you have this, and, like, you know, guys are kind of milling around, and then you kind of, like, a little swing afterwards, but it's not, like, what we saw.
He dropped him.
Well, yeah. That thing.
Okay, let's not do that anymore. It is. Let's not do that anymore.
That escalated real quick.
Very quickly. So, Sliwa was very, and by the way, the Golden State Warriors have launched a complete and total investigation into this.
Into who leaked the tape.
Not into the incident, right. But who is the snitch.
Although, the incident's pretty cut and dry.
The incident is clear, right? And I don't think they're going to do anything. Do you think there'll be an internal punishment of any, like you've got to sit out an exhibition game? Preseason game?
The template that people are pointing to was a few years ago when Bobby Portis...
Yes.
Punched, I forget who it was, like Nikola Mirotic or something like that, mm-hmm. and like basically smashed his face. But that was after Portis had been kind of attacked twice. Like
right.
Mirotic was coming after him, and he swung back, and he got 8 games from the Bulls, not from the league.
Yes.
I think pre-video, there was a 0% chance. It looks real bad.
It does.
Like, sports are weird because there's no other office where you could do that.
Nope.
Those people are coworkers.
Correct. Yeah, you were joking on Twitter today that if I had been punched, I would leak the tape.
I think so.
Yeah.
I joked again. We actually have it on the rundown for 2:45.
Oh, do we good.
Punch. Good. Mason gets punched.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So I wanted to put this into some perspective, though. Here's a little bit, and I think this is from The Last Dance, Michael Jordan talking about his fight with Steve Kerr years ago.
So one day at practice, Phil put Steve Kerr guarding me.
We were on opposite sides in a scrimmage, and he's talking all kinds of trash, and I'm pissed because, you know, we're getting our ass kicked.
Phil sensed my aggression, but he was trying to tone me down, and he starts calling these tic-tac fouls. Now I'm getting mad because for you to be protecting this guy, that's not going to help us when we play New York. It's not going to help us when we play these teams that are very physical. Next time he did it, I just haul off him. I said, when I fouled Steve Kerr, I said, nah, that's foul.
I have a lot of patience as a human being, but I tend to snap at some point because I'm extremely competitive too. Just not really good enough to back it up usually, but I'm going. I'm gonna fight.
He hauls off and hits me in the chest. And I just haul off and hit him right in the eye. And Phil just throws me out of practice.
So there you go. It happens.
Difference is, though,
we didn't have video of that?
Didn't have video. And as it's described by those guys, it happens in the context of a scrimmage.
Sure.
This was guys
standing
in the corner
around
of the floor,
at the baseline,
listening to somebody talk, and you know, the talking starts, whatever. And Draymond walks from where he is over to Jordan Poole, gets up in him, kind of bumps him a little
yep.
bit, a little shove. Jordan Poole is probably like, why are you here? Pushes him back. And by any normal fight sort of standards, there should be at least, you guys tell me if I think I'm wrong, at least 2 or 3 more shoves and yelling and pointing or whatever before anybody throws a punch.
No, Draymond just went there right away.
From 0 to 60 instantly.
Yeah. So, but I still think the snitch is the problem.
They're both a problem. Draymond Green should not punch Jordan Poole like
the
that.
No, he shouldn't. But that's in the context of a team, and they're going to work that out in some way. And the NBA has no governance, I don't think, over practice, do they?
Mm-mm.
So this, it's got to be an internal punishment. And you can't do anything really to Draymond Green because he's so critical to your success.
I would say, but my question would be, they'll all work this out internally, blah, blah, blah. Really, because that to me is betrayed a little bit by the fact that somebody leaked the tape.
Right.
That tells me that maybe it isn't something that's going to be worked out so easily. And people actually do kind of need to know what happened and see this so it isn't just shoved under the rug. Maybe. I don't know. But the tape should have been leaked.
Get the snitch.
I agree. But also, like, yo, Draymond, you can't do that. Like, that isn't leadership.
I wonder how much TMZ pays for a tape like that.
So much money.
You think so much
money? That's an NIL deal I want to know the terms.
Yeah, I would love to know what TMZ paid for that Draymond Green tape.
It's every nickel.
It's why they always get these tapes, because they will pay for them. It's always TMZ. So if they'll give you, what,
$25,000?
Quarter of a mil, Jesus.
Yes. Quarter of a million?
That is $250,000?
Hey. I don't think they're paying $250,000.
Well, maybe for this, like, he's right,
maybe
though.
This
is pretty, I mean, everybody in the world has now looked at this on TMZ.
Right, it's also, this guy, if he gets caught, is now fired, and he doesn't have a job.
Course, yes.
So you need to get a lot of money for it.
What do you think? Right. How much, you think a quarter of a million, you think 25,000. What do you think, Brian?
I wouldn't do that for 25K.
No.
Because you're done. You're not only done with the Warriors, you're done in the league.
Yes. You're giving up your career.
And, you know, Frank Vogel was a video guy who became a head coach. Like, they all have aspirations of going somewhere else.
I would lose my job and then apply for the NHL or NFL. Maybe they hire me. Just kidding.
Lindsay just tweeted that they probably paid 50 to 150K.
Yeah. Hmm. I wasn't too far off.
No, you weren't. You weren't. It's in the ballpark.
But not, like, in cash. Like, how do you take that money?
She tweeted it or she texted you?
She texted me.
Oh. Is that in a suitcase? I mean, do they Zelle that? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, Venmo you the money for the tape?
What do you put in the notes section?
No, Zelle, you can only
Draymond tape. Crypto? How do you get this?
No, you don't want to put it in crypto. I wouldn't take it.
It'd be worth half that in the time it took to send it to you.
Exactly. It's so like OBJ last year, losing
all his
money.
How's your crypto doing, Steve?
It's been good.
You notice how the voice got a little higher?
Yeah, it did.
It's good. You look at it.
It's good.
You're a big crypto guy.
I'm also a big buy and hold guy.
You have to hold it for a while.
I don't sell. I don't sell. What is Bitcoin at? Still at like 20 grand, right?
19.5.
It's been at 20 grand
it's
for
down
3 months.
It's 2% down $500.
Yeah.
All right, enough crypto talk. Break time.
Break time, right. Jorge brings it up, then he doesn't want it there. All right, coming up next for you.
You're suffering a little bit too, aren't you?
What's that?
Got some crypto.
Got some crypto, yeah. All right, coming up next for you, the 10 least popular states to move to in 2022. Plus some... I don't think we've given Julio Urias his due for a fantastic season. We'll do that coming up for you, too. In the meantime, let me tell you about Isaac at Mir Audio Video in Westport. Is that what I'm doing? Okay, because I have no copy for it. Okay.
Told you it's on the actual computer.
On the actual computer.
The link. I told you this before we went to the segment.
Well, how am I supposed to keep track of everything?
You forget everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
By the way, Phillies have taken a 4-2 lead on St. Louis. Sorry, Brian Kamenetsky. They blew the lead. They were up 2-0. Now it's 4-2.
That is not our way, Steve.
Top of the ninth. That's not that's not the Cardinal way. Exactly. Mason and Ireland show.
Upset the best fans in baseball, I'll tell you that much.
If you're just tuning in, we have a long sheet of things that we intend to do all week long, and we've got a bunch of stuff left, so we're just running through the sheet. Brian Kamenetsky is here for John. So Julio Urias is expected, well, will pitch game one for the Dodgers on Tuesday night at Dodger Stadium. It'll be either against the Mets or against the Padres. I suspect it's going to be the Mets, but I am rooting for the Padres. We're 14-5 against the Padres.
We own the Padres, but I'm a little concerned about that. Like going into like sort of that idea of picking your opponent. Like the Mets are scary. They've got the pitching. I know Atlanta overtook them in the division, but
the Mets fell apart.
They sort of did, but like if you look at their like 100 games or whatever, like they were still well above 500. Yes. Like they weren't catastrophically bad. Atlanta was really good over the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season.
Right.
I'm a little, the whole like the Mets are dead, let's, you know, we don't want them, let's take, it all makes me a little nervous.
I have no control over it, so because I'm rooting for one outcome doesn't mean I'm sleeping on the other opponent.
What's the reaction going to be? The Dodgers were historically good this year.
Record-breakingly good.
Without half of their players for like half the year.
Right.
Can you imagine how many games they would have won if everybody was around for most of the season? Like 400.
Although, do you agree with me that, and I'm holding Dave Roberts to his words, he went on Dan Patrick at the beginning of the year and said, we are winning the World Series in 2022. Write it down. Now, it's been a great season. It's been a glorious season.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not win the World Series at this point, it's a disaster.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, how are people going to react? Because it's like this season, but it's still the baseball playoffs and like stupid, weird things happen all the time. And the Dodgers are kind of banged up and they're missing some important
pieces. Showing Cardinals fans, by the way, bailing from the stadium right
Best
now.
Best fans in baseball.
Best fans in baseball. See ya.
It's
See ya.
Single
most obnoxious, like self-tagged thing.
The Cardinal way?
No, best fans in baseball.
Do they call themselves the best fans in baseball?
Yes, we do.
Oh, God.
No, it's completely obnoxious, and I totally get it.
Yeah. So Julio Urias is going to pitch game one. And I wanted to point out, he's the first Mexican pitcher ever to win an ERA title. Fernando Valenzuela finished in the top 10 four times, never higher than fifth. Teddy Aguirre finished second in 1986. Ismael Valdez was actually the highest for a Dodger with 2 fourth-place finishes. Remember Ismael Valdez? Wow.
Wow. Yep.
But Julio Urias, first Mexican pitcher ever to win an ERA title. And this is Kyle Glazer, who's a baseball writer, points out about Julio Urias. 2020, postseason hero. 2021, 20-game winner. 2022, ERA champion. He's emerged as the ace of this staff without question. Now,
so glad they took care of him when he was younger and his arm was all fuzzy and everybody wanted to pitch more and everyone wanted to throw in all these games. Nope. He's still, what, 23? He's really young.
No,
24?
Is he 23?
24?
25.
25, okay.
Jorge.
That's still young.
Very young. Very young. And I think he is the undisputed ace of this staff.
26.
He had just 26. A fantastic season. And I feel great confidence in having him on the mound in game one of the NLDS on Tuesday night at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. All right. States that are the least popular to move to.
Guess we're done talking about that.
In 2022. Yes, we moved on. I'm trying to get through all the material,
Brian.
No,
I got you.
You guys have seen this. The least popular state to move to in 2022 is New Jersey. Now, I would argue that's the least popular state to
Evergreen.
Move to every year. Nobody wants to live in Jersey. Number
two. Do you have a reason that you would ever move to Jersey? Is there anything that could make you move there?
MLB Network is in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Okay, so if you got a job in... Got it.
But
actually are some nice.
By the way, I would live in Manhattan and drive across the bridge.
Of course. How long does it take you to get across the bridge?
It can it It varies.
Depends on the bridge.
It's a little bit like the 405. Depends sometimes on traffic. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's not.
But this list to me is a little bit wonky because like I would move to New Jersey before I would move to Arkansas.
Right. The least popular states go like this. New Jersey, 1. California, 2. Screw you. 3, Illinois. 4, New York. 5, Connecticut. 6, Utah. Maryland, Rhode Island, Louisiana, Virginia. I want to say this about
this thing was put together by the Republican National Committee.
Yeah. I want to say this about California. I don't even know what that means. You know what? This is a great place to live. And I know you guys are like moving to Portland or Idaho or wherever. Where else are people leaving LA?
Florida, Texas.
Texas. It's like
north. They're going to the Pacific Northwest.
Don't let the door hit you on Montana. The way out.
I have a friend who moved to Idaho.
Yep. Idaho, Montana. There, a lot of people are
moving
there.
Idaho's big. Ireland spends a lot of time in Idaho. I don't think I'll ever live my life anywhere but California.
I like it here.
I like it here too. I mean, yeah, there's downsides. Traffic is a pain in the ass.
It can be.
Gas is $7.
Gas is really expensive.
$6 if you go to the right spot.
No, I paid $7 yesterday.
The homeless crisis is really difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I still
you do not want to know what my rent is like compared to like a normal
housing
person's
costs,
mortgage.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's insane.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I love California. All right, so I disagree with that poll altogether.
All right, moving on.
I want to go back to Julio Urias because that's the next thing on the list here. I feel bad about this. I actually feel bad about this. Julio Urias has said that he knows that let me read it. That's out of my control. The focus is doing my job in the postseason and trying to get another championship for LA, especially with all the criticism that goes with that 2020 shortened season. We want to finish off strong. Are people still bagging on the 2020 season?
People still bag on the Lakers win. They're in the bubble. Like, yes, absolutely. They're 100% still bagging.
In so many ways, they were so much tougher to win.
I think so.
I mean, I was at Dallas, the Arlington Stadium or whatever they call it down there. And, you know, everybody's wearing M95 masks and everybody's nervous and
except Justin Turner.
Except Justin Turner. Except Justin Turner. But I don't. I value those 2020 championships as I would value any championship.
They are different, but that doesn't mean different. Different doesn't mean easier.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, the bubble offered the Lakers, I will say this, the benefit of the bubble for the Lakers was Anthony Davis got to heal
right
for 2.5 months before he got to basically go play the playoffs.
Yep.
And as we've seen in a couple of years since then, that time, which is never going to be replicated, was pretty valuable.
Yes.
And the Dodgers, but like, you know, it's a sprint to get there. You're playing in weird stadiums. You're not in front of your crowd. Yeah. All of it is, and you still have to win the games, and it's baseball, and it's strange, and
anything, anybody can
beat
anybody.
How does that not count?
Right.
It has to count. Bitter people.
Yeah.
But that's, you got to win.
People still won't let this go?
No, people won't let it go, and people like Alex Verdugo are not letting it go either.
Oh, yeah, Alex Verdugo sounded off, yeah.
Yeah, he sounded off saying that it was like, well, you know, it's a 60-game season. No matter what, it was a 60-game season. What happened to the other 122 games?
Hey, we get Mookie, they get
What's Verdugo up to?
Alex Verdugo, yeah.
He's playing.
Is he still with the Sox, not the guy that you thought he was going to be.
He's not playing now because they're not in the postseason.
Is he busy right now? I mean, could we get him on?
He was not on a 111-win team.
He was free. Mm-hmm. Coming up next for you, I've got one word for you, Brian Kamenetsky. Mm. Wemby.
Mm.
Wemby. Do you know what it means?
I do.
No idea what that means.
We will do that. Coming up next, must be a good tease. Coming up next, we'll do that. We got Bobcat coming up for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wembayana. Wembayana.
Yama. Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. You know, it's a difficult name to pronounce, but I have this strange feeling that everybody is going to be able to do it very, very soon.
I mean, Ireland still calls him Mucky, so I'm not sure.
Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Just look at the letters that are in it.
There's an N in there.
Oh, I'm missing an N.
Okay, let me put the N in.
Wembanyama.
Yama.
Wembanyama.
Ma.
Now, last night I saw people calling
him. Hold on.
When? Just repeat after me.
It's an M.
Wem.
Wem.
Ban.
Ban.
Yam.
Yama. Ah.
Yama.
Oh, my God.
You sound like Michael trying to say antenna kumpo.
Antenna kumpo, I would argue, is easier than Wembanyama.
I would disagree.
Okay. Last night. Thank you. So
Mason is wrong.
Last night, I retweeted some highlights that I saw on Twitter of Victor Wembanyama.
Wemby, his friends call him.
And it's, I don't know if he goes by that name or not, but I started to see Wemby on the Twitter last night.
Call him Victor.
Victor. So he led the Mets 92 to a victory and finished with 36 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And he made it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
One basketball writer wrote this: it was impossible for Victor to live up to the expectations this week, yet somehow he greatly exceeded them.
36 points in one game, 37 in another, hitting three-pointers, blocking shots, rebounding.
Yeah, that's amazing. Impossible.
V-dub.
Impossible to live up to expectations, yet somehow
he
greatly
exceeded
them.
You know who that describes? LeBron.
Yeah. Is this guy the next?
I think this guy,
just from those highlights, I think this guy is going to be the next.
People
next
are
thing.
Freaked out about him.
Yes.
Like about what this, he's 7'4".
Yep.
Shoots three-pointers like he's a 6'2 guard.
Right.
Can stand and block shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, I mean, literally stand and block shots. He's a little slight, so he's not like a big dude, so there's something there.
The guy he posterized last night was like one of the most demonstrative posterizations I've ever seen.
You think of guys who are 7 foot, 7'1", 7'2", 7'3", and they are awkward and gangly.
Like Sean Bradley and guys like that.
This guy is fluid and skilled and can put the ball on the floor and passes well.
Has got a handle. And,
and think how easy it is for Kevin Durant to shoot over anyone.
Yep.
Because that game, like, this guy is 5 inches taller than Kevin Durant.
Wow. Now, people are going to absolutely tank this year. I know
because they got Scoot behind him.
Right. But I know it's not, you're not guaranteed anything by tanking. Still, somebody else's ping pong ball can pop up. But you want as many.
And the league has flattened that out. People have forgotten. Like, they've made it harder.
Like, the bottom three get the same number of ping pong balls.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how bad you are, 14%.
Yeah. So, there is an incentive to tank this year, because I think this guy is probably the league's next transformational player. Victor Wembanyama.
Nailed it.
Yeah. If you've not seen the highlights,
it's insane.
Go check it out.
It is insane.
They're crazy. All right. The Mets plan. We did this a little bit earlier, but I want to do some baseball right here. The Mets are playing the Padres in a 3-game series this weekend. The Mets, apparently, reportedly, are playing with fire. The Mets are going to start Max Scherzer tonight versus Yu Darvish in game one of the series. And remember now, all three games are in the other city. The city with the better record gets all three games. The Mets are thinking about, if they win game one, not throwing Jacob deGrom in game two, throwing Chris Bassitt instead, and trying to close out that series and save Jacob deGrom for game one of the NLDS against the Dodgers Tuesday night. For me, this is just playing with fire.
Too stupid. Yep. Just win.
Too smart.
Yeah.
Trying to be too
cute.
Smart. Yeah, right. Too cute.
Just win the series.
Yep.
Don't screw around. Now, if they lose game one, he would obviously automatically pitch game two.
Right.
But no, that's not how this works.
No. And by the way, so what they're going to do is they're going to throw Scherzer in game one. If he wins, they're going to throw Bassett. If Bassett loses, then they're going to come back with DeGrom in game three, which burns DeGrom for the first two games right. of the NLDS.
Just win.
Stupidity.
Your series.
Yeah, win your series. Throw your two best guys.
This is the punishment for not winning your division.
Correct. For falling apart.
Right.
During that last weekend of the season.
It happens. You know, you got to live with it. You're still a good team. You can stay. It's a little harder now, but you can still win. Go win your series. Cross the second round.
Yep.
When you get to the second round. Because if you screw around too much, you're not going to get there anyway. Look at Cardinals 2-0 lead going into the ninth inning. All of a sudden, they're down 6-2.
Gone. Down 6-2. You know, I have the best feeling about the Dodgers this year. I know I've been, you know, take it to your grave if you lose. I think the Dodgers are going to win. And I think they're going to, what does it take, 11 wins now?
11.
11 wins. I think they're going to get them fast. I think these series are going to be dominant for the Dodgers. One guy that's not getting any blame today or any grief today is a guy named Jeff McNeil, who plays for the Mets. Do you know the story of this?
I do not know the story.
Okay. So Jeff McNeil won the batting title by percentage points over Freddie Freeman. Jeff McNeil opted to take the last day of the season off in order to protect his batting title. Freddie Freeman went 3-for-4 and got this close away from the batting title.
So if he was like 0-for-3.
If McNeil would have gone 0-for-3, Freddie would have won the batting title. That's a soft way to win a batting
title. How many
title.
Decimal points did they have to go out to get here?
What do you mean?
Because like if it was that close after that many at-bats.
Oh, it was literally that. It was Greg, how much was that? Like two tenths?
Yeah, it was nothing. It was something like, one tenth of a point.
One tenth of a point?
Yeah, it wasn't
a lot.
And
McNeil sat on the last day of the season, which I think is really weak.
So,
I'm going to remember that.
Actually, you have it here. McNeil had a 3-2-6-4-5, and Freeman had a 3-2-5-1-6.
Wow.
So it's 1/1000th of a point.
And had McNeil gone even 1-for-4, I think Freddie wins the batting title. I just think that's soft to sit out the last day of the season. Remember, the famous story is Ted Williams, who last day of the season had the batting title. Somebody was chasing him, was very close, and Ted Williams said, I'm playing anyway, and went like 4-for-4.
Right.
Won the batting title outright.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like Ted Williams.
Go out and win the thing. Don't sit on your ass.
See, like,
and
that
get the batting
to me
title.
Is like, that tells me the Mets are going to lose.
Me too.
You're messing around with Jacob DeGrom. You got a guy who won't go up there and prove his worth.
To win the batting title. Yeah, they're soft. I still want to face the Padres.
Now, let me ask you. So do I, by the way. But do you remember any batting title from the last 25 years?
Do I remember any batting title? You remember a Cardinals one? Mm-hmm. I think Bill Buckner won a batting title.
You know the year?
I mean...
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, Jeff McNeil 85. Winning a batting title. Like, are we going to sit there and be like, oh, I remember back in 2022 when Jeff McNeil won the batting title.
Here's what it means. When Freddie Freeman... Not Jeff McNeil. When Freddie Freeman is being voted on for the Hall of Fame, we're going to look at all of his statistics. And we're going to say, yeah, won the batting title in 2022.
Fair.
We measure people by these benchmarks. And that's why it bothers me so much.
Freddie Freeman is pretty good, but never won a batting
title. Never won a batting title.
I think he did win a batting title.
He may have already won one.
He only won one batting title.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to ask you, Brian Kamenetsky, about, as we continue to race through all of our material here, Jovan Buha and Sam Amick.
You said it right. Good job.
Yeah, I have the ability to learn. Wembanyama. So they say that Russell Westbrook has already made changes. Now, you're watching these games closely because you do the
Locked On Lakers podcast five days a week, wherever you get your podcast, never behind a paywall.
And, hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
Oh, Ethan is a big star today. Now, here's what they say, and you've been watching these games. Here's what they say has changed already with Russell. One, during scrimmages, Westbrook has been doing many of the little things that the Lakers have asked of him. What do you think? Well, you don't know. It's in scrimmages. Mm-hmm. Number two, he's been an active on-ball screener. He's relentlessly pushing the pace in Ham's up-tempo system, looking for his teammates first and his own shots second.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say your weight was at?
What's that?
What'd you say your weight was at?
202.
Okay. Where was it before?
216.
Last time you were at 202, you got back up 216, right?
Yeah, correct.
That's the problem with Russell Westbrook.
Oh, you're saying there's going to be... So he can do it all now.
He's doing now. I need to know if he's going to weigh 202 in 4 months.
Third point. He's been engaged defensively, hounding ball handlers while adjusting to Ham's new pick and roll covers. Exactly. Are you seeing that?
He's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying. I will say that Russ clearly likes Frank Vogel, or likes Darvin Ham more than he likes Frank Vogel.
Right.
And I also think Russ understands this year, after the disaster of last year, is way more important for the rest of his career than what happened last year. So there is some self-interest here in play for being able to show, especially if he wants to get paid by someone at anything above, like, you know, a mid-level or something like that.
Right.
That he is a guy who you can actually put on a team who doesn't have to do just superstar stuff.
Well, the question is, you can do all the right stuff during the preseason. But once you get into the...
Is he going to keep doing it?
The ups and downs of a regular NBA season, is Russell Westbrook going to be able to continue to do it?
Is he going
to
keep setting off ball screen? I'm sure he'll keep pushing pace. That part, that he did that last year.
Yep.
But is he going to set the off ball screens? Is he going to pay attention on defense? He's not going to become a good defender. But the difference between really bad, which is what he's been for a lot of years, and just normal bad.
Right.
Or not gonna hurt you. That allows him to play on, they can keep him on the floor. That makes a huge difference in your defense. You're off the attention that you pay. The problem with Russ is usually off ball defense. He's not watching.
I've already seen video of him lackadaisical on defense. People are looking for bad plays where he's not engaged, sending them out on Twitter and saying, same old Russ.
I mean, that's not always fair. Guys are going to make mistakes. And again, you can't expect Westbrook to go from terrible defender to great defender. He's not going to be a great defender. Lonnie Walker is another guy. Like, you know, in last night's game, Darvin Ham praised him for trying, for showing the effort, for trying to do what they're asking him to do. But same as I need to know that Russ is going to be 202 pounds in December and January. I need to know that he's going to be still riding his Peloton, you know, to go with Greg here, and or
after New Year's. Are you still going to be on the Peloton?
Right.
Or are you
that's your
away?
Russell Westbrook thing.
I hope so.
I need to know that Russell Westbrook's not going to be eating too much ice cream.
Yeah.
Like me.
Too many donuts.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that's, I'm not doing it now.
Right.
But in 6 months, am I going to be eating too much ice cream?
It is a long ass season.
Right.
And I mean, tell me if I'm, I just have this hunch that we're going to get a lot of Dennis Schroeder and a lot of Pat Beverly and not as much Russell Westbrook this year.
It's up to Russ.
By the time we get past the first of the year and into the throes of an NBA season.
Almost entirely, I think, up to Westbrook.
Yeah.
And like, but this is, Andy and I were talking about this on today's podcast.
Yes.
Today's Lock on Lakers podcast. Like, Darvin wants, like, Wednesday they wanted to play the small lineup.
Right.
Which is why it mattered that Anthony Davis didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a couple more games to see that. But that, like, if they want to play Westbrook and Kendrick Nunn and Patrick Beverley and Dennis Schroeder and Lonnie Walker, whatever, they're going to have to go small.
Right.
It means AD's going to have to play a lot more center. We won't see as much Damian Jones. We won't see as much Thomas Bryant. Okay. But, like, you got to see what that looks like.
Right.
And if all of those guys play well, that's where most of the talent on the roster is.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, you're into this deeply. So what happens when we play Nikola Jokic or Rudy Gobert or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Joel Embiid? When we play those big guys, we have a very small a roster on the small side.
They're quite wee.
Yeah. How do we handle that?
Well, I mean, you saw last year, you know, AD had one of his best games against Joel Embiid. One of the few highlight games that anybody had. There, you know, that's where you bring out Damian Jones. That's where you bring out Thomas Bryant. The same way that they would trot out Dwight or, you know, the carcass of
DeAndre Jordan.
What
about Wendy and Gabriel? Is he going to get time?
He
looked good in that first game.
He did okay. He does Wendy and Gabriel. He's a great 13th man. You play him when you need to. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. The more you have to rely on him, you get diminishing returns. But like, he's going to play a little bit. He's small to play center.
Right.
I think Anthony Davis is going to have to play some center against those players.
Yep.
And you'll go a little bit bigger. And then you try to run. Run. They don't have it's not like they got a bunch of wings.
No.
To go throw at those dudes. You know, no. You might see maybe a little more Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Yeah.
But those aren't 30-minute guys to go up against Joel Embiid.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Bergman, how you doing?
This is fun.
These are abrupt changes.
I like them.
So, Bergman, Bobcat, you're just going to continue on this sheet, right?
Yeah, so I'm just going to go, and whatever we've missed on the sheet, I'm just going to go off of those things. I'm just going to ask you questions of what's on the sheet.
Okay.
like the first one I think we're going to go with is going to be, what does Mason Tacos mean?
Okay, good. We'll do that. Coming up next, don't forget, it's not any Friday.
It Friday.
Mason in Ireland, Brian in for John, 710 ESPN.
Say what? Oh, right.
This is you. This is you,
me.
Brian.
It's my turn.
This is you. Look alive.
I told you seven times.
Did you?
Yeah.
You told me once at the beginning.
No, and I've been singing in your ear the entire second.
Oh, I didn't hear a word of that. I was focused.
We don't hear a lot of
I was focused on Steve. I'm doing a show here.
Can I take a minute?
No.
Let's take a beat.
No.
Let's take a beat on this. Let's take a beat.
It Friday.
So Bergman thinks that while we are talking and creating these
radio magic,
that we can somehow multitask and remember what the hell you're saying in our ears while we're trying to create compelling and engaging conversation on the radio.
On 7,000 topics.
Yeah, basically. But at the same time,
every
time I say it in your ear, you stop, you look over to your right, you pick up the paper, and then you read it.
No.
So why is this any different than any other time?
I didn't hear a word of that. Anyway.
Brian, go ahead.
Plus, it's in the rundown.
True. I can't follow this rundown.
Nobody can follow this
rundown. It's 800 pages long. It's literally 18 pages long. It's like 14 different colors.
It's a lot
and
of
the
colors.
I just found it. The tiniest fonts. Live read, ZipRecruiter.
It's on the paper
it's
next to
you. It's a whisper.
All right,
underneath
all right,
it,
all right,
giant
let's
words. Bobcat.
I don't know what that means.
Let's go. Bobcat.
Anyway, this past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. It's true. Everyone knows that. Talk about technology. I'm seeing the puck, player tracking. It's a Ron Burgundy.
Give me that.
So, no, I'm good. It's not a Ron Burgundy moment, though. The puck player tracking technology we saw that. We saw digital fans in the stands. They're still doing that, apparently.
Sure.
According to this.
UCLA game.
So when it comes to hiring for your business, there's only one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. Now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. And then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology. This is the technology I was talking about. It identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply for your job. It's a winning formula. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post to ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So if you want to step up your hiring game, you give ZipRecruiter a shot and you got nothing to lose. Why? Glad you asked. Because right now you get the chance to try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
By the way, Dave Singer just texted in and said, I feel your pain with a bunch of laughing emojis. So thanks, Dave.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. So now I'm just going to read off what you have on here, Mason, for your rundown. So this one just says Mason Tacos.
All right. Jorge, do you want to set this up?
Nope.
All right. So you...
I don't know what it is.
Mason Tacos?
What about it?
Yesterday,
you
knife
eating
and
tacos.
Fork. Mason Tacos.
Yeah. That you said that you...
I would never use a knife and fork for tacos.
And then I caught you and I got
you a video of me doing it. Now, I will say this.
How?
Yeah, why did you...
It was at a...
No. How do you eat a taco with a knife and fork?
Watch the video. It's on Twitter and ESPN LA.
So there's a reason for this, and I'd like to speak up for myself.
Okay, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay. So we're on a remote. Mm. What do we do a lot at remotes?
Eat.
Shake hands.
Oh.
Get selfies. Yeah. Get pictures with people. All that kind of stuff that we love doing. Mm-hmm. I don't want... taco stuff on my hand while I'm shaking everybody's hand. So that's why I used a knife and fork, you know, only on remote.
In fairness, it's not like anyone's ever invented any kind of thing that could remove the tacos from your hand. Somebody should do like a
something like a, modern,
like a,
fresh,
like a yeah. cloth, like some sort of, how about a cloth you could use to wipe your hands when you were done eating the taco?
This is genius. How do you
look? I got a whole bag here.
Oh, maybe. Wait, it exists.
Darn it. Sometimes they're wet, too.
I was about to start a small business.
Bergman,
that is both bougie and unnecessary.
It's not, no, it isn't bougie, and it's not
extremely bougie. It's not bougie or unnecessary.
No,
it is
not on remote when I'm with people.
Impractical and bougie at the same time.
Agree to disagree.
I'm with Brian,
man of the people. My
Bobcat.
All right, so this next one says Travis FanDuel disclaimer, and I actually have it. So you guys tell me what you think of this.
21 plus and present in Arizona, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Tennessee, redline 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
That's unbelievable. I'm driving around. I'm driving around and I hear him do the FanDuel read and then I hear the disclaimer, which is obviously pre-recorded, but that has to be the toughest thing to read.
One take.
Yeah, he did it
exactly.
Is that good?
Who talks that fast? Who talk? I mean,
it's
I'm
a
sure
Micro Machines guy.
Yeah, the Micro Machines guy. Exactly.
Yeah. So I just think it's impressive. I wanted to salute Travis for that unbelievable disclaimer.
How much did they pay for the read?
The read is like
a minute,
probably 20 seconds.
But you
and
have
then
to
the rest
add
of it is a disclaimer.
You have to add more. Like they really want you to go to FanDuel.
They really want you to go to FanDuel.
It was 42 seconds.
42
of,
seconds, which
of
means
disclaimer.
The yeah. spot was
18 seconds.
18 seconds.
So the whole thing was only a minute, and it's 42 seconds?
Yes.
That's wow. insane.
I feel like anything... No, I realize... I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this. I'm worried that anything that comes with 42 seconds of disclaimers isn't something I should be doing.
That is a lot of disclaimers.
For only 18 seconds of content,
yeah.
42 seconds of disclaimer is setting off alarm bells for me.
We're about to enter this world, though, because I assume... I don't know. Are all the propositions advertising? Because I don't want to wade into it if they are.
Yeah, don't.
They are.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to say anything about it.
It's very complicated.
It is very complicated. I know how I'm going to vote. I've studied it, but I'm not going
to. I'm going to need to. I just need to make sure I pull the right lever because it's easy to be misled on this.
Right.
One.
It's 26 and 27. Those are the two props, and you make your own call.
Different kind of prop bet.
Yes.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge. Okay, so I was on TikTok last night.
Yes.
And I just found this guy, Sahir_0092, and he pretty much writes on a whiteboard, and these are the things he writes. If you are waiting for the waiter, aren't you the waiter?
If
Stupid
you
stuff.
Are waiting yeah. for the waiter,
aren't you the waiter?
The waiter.
Oh boy, Jorge. Yeah.
Here's okay, the next one. Jorge. Here's the next one. Have you noticed that the word swims upside down still spells swims?
Do you sit at home and just find these and go, this
no,
is amazing?
No, I'm in the can, actually.
any others?
Here's the next one.
It's like
here's
the worst Seinfeld jokes of all
here's
time.
Here's the next one. Here's the next one. Why is there a D on the word fridge, but not on refrefrigerator?
Mm. Oh, well,
that's a legitimate question.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
The word Q is ironic. It's just a Q with a bunch of silent letters next to it.
I like that.
You had
better.
One there. You had one.
No, that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
I do like words like disgruntled.
I get bored in the can.
Because there's no opposite. Like people don't have like the opposite of it.
Like, what do you mean, disgruntled? There's like, an opposite to disgruntled.
Gruntled? Do you ever just say gruntled? I'm really gruntled about that. You only say disgruntled.
Yeah, I guess there's nobody.
Nobody
is
ever
gruntled.
Says
like,
they're gruntled.
Disgruntled. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, just words like that.
Swims upside down.
Thank you, Michael Thompson.
Bobcat.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to go off script here just for a second, but there's a guy that is filling up my mentions right now. Is driving me insane, named Phil Ernest. And I just want to apologize because I got the Zach Wilson story wrong the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were supposed to talk about it. I was wrong. It was from a fake account. I got. Can we move on from that now?
Is that all? You got? Yeah, Bergman thought Zach Wilson had weighed into the Tom Brady, Gisele Bündchen situation, and in fact, it was a fake Zach
bold
Wilson.
Bold for a second-year player.
Yes. Yeah, very bold. It was very bold, but it sounds like something he would have done, but I was wrong.
So you got caught.
I got caught. I got caught by a fake Woj, which wasn't Woj.
It happens.
Yep, everybody gets caught.
Bobcat.
Okay, so the next thing on here says Hulu plus live TV plus plus plus.
Okay. The reason I put that on there is that I think it's genius.
It is genius. I love it every time I hear it.
I remember it. It's Hulu plus live TV plus plus plus. It sticks in my head because of all the pluses. Mm-hmm. It is a genius marketing
campaign.
And
all you think of is I keep getting extra stuff. Like plus 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 means I get more stuff.
More stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's smart.
Yeah.
Like the wars for streaming are really coming. Like before, everybody's like, oh, I'll sign up for that. Now you're starting to look at your bills as everything's starting to go up. And you're like, I'm going to disconnect that.
Minus.
Yeah. Yeah. Minus.
Like, I don't know. Like, I have Peacock now.
Peacock's good. I've watched a lot of stuff on Peacock.
But I have it mostly because my son loves Premier League. Big soccer player, loves what. So he wants to watch all of the games.
Right.
So I have Peacock. But like, I didn't need Peacock before. And if he ever decides he doesn't want to watch Premier League anymore,
right.
Peacock's got to show me something. Or otherwise, I could get rid of Peacock.
You know what? I've been watching Matthew Berry's daily fantasy show on Peacock.
I have not been watching
He's been doing a fantasy football show every day. He's doing great. Doing great. He was just on yesterday. But Peacock, if you had to get rid of one, which one do you get rid of?
Well, right now it would be Peacock because I haven't really gotten used to it. Like, I know what I watch on Hulu. I actually pull a few things. We get Amazon Video anyway because we're Prime.
Right.
I'm not getting rid of Netflix.
Right.
I'm not getting rid of HBO. What else do I have?
Hulu.
I do have Hulu.
Plus.
I already have the Hulu.
Yeah.
Disney Plus we need.
Disney Plus. Kids. I get the bundle, so I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. If I had to get rid of one, I think it would be Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything I watch on Netflix.
I need Stranger Things when it comes back.
Oh, that. Yeah,
but I could, you know what, I could do the thing where you come and go with Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
But you're right. Netflix, it hasn't been. Team. Yeah.
What's that?
The Redeem Team documentary is out on Netflix.
Is it good?
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's out.
Oh, it's out.
Yeah.
But you're right. I have not been as into the Netflix stuff over the last year or year and a half.
Okay, I'm going to say something. This is really weird. So Juan, for some reason, needs TV on all night long.
So does my mother.
And okay, now follow this.
That's a little weird thing to say.
It's on Peacock. He leaves Murder, She Wrote on all night long. There is always Murder, She Wrote in the middle of the night.
So does my mom. And my
mom, exactly. Everybody's mom loves Murder, She Wrote. I don't know what it is. It's like comfort food for him. Helps him sleep to hear Angela Lansbury try to solve another crime that everywhere she goes, somebody dies.
Tell you what, that lady had some real insight.
She really did.
And you don't see her coming.
No. You see that bike and you know somebody's dead.
Shake and Bake just said, I was gruntled with Jorge's segment just now.
There you go. I was also gruntled.
Half at Friday.
Also
maybe
gruntled.
Half at Friday.
Bobcat.
All right, it's over.
That was it.
Well, people are still, Phil guy's still angry that I wore a Cardinals hat in the studio like 7 years ago.
I personally find it offensive. I think
it made for good content, though, that
day. It did make for good content. You're right. Let's see what's coming up. I'm going through the rundown. All right, let's do some. I've got Houston Mitchell has done some research and put some time into figuring out what the Dodgers postseason roster is going to look like. Mm. Again, they play Tuesday night against either the Padres or the Mets at Dodger Stadium. So we've got that coming up for you. Plus, plus Jared Goff is about to. You know I'm a big Jared Goff defender.
You are.
He's about to screw me over. I will explain next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Why do we call it a fire truck? Isn't it a water truck?